Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey! Two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday in the big city. As we set the table for what should be a very spirited week with lots of stuff going on. Rockets are at home tonight against the Knicks. As we mentioned, with P.J. Tucker, Harden, and Westbrook at the Memorial for Kobe, they will be not a game-time decision, but they will be a game-time arrival. Hopefully they'll play. It is the Knicks, so I don't care if they sent anybody or not. It's still the Knicks. Hopefully the Rockets still get a win. Because, by the way, we haven't really talked about the weekend in terms of the Rockets, but another impressive win.
Yes.
At Utah, which is always a tough place to play. They continue to play good basketball enough to slide into the top four in terms of looking for that home court advantage in the playoffs. And we could judge them on the playoffs when the playoffs come. But for right now, the way they're playing and they continue to add guys that are contributing, you can't be too upset with the way the Rockets are playing these days.
I feel like it's one of those things where what team is going to show up, right? Because you'll see their small ball lineup go out there and hold their own against the Jazz. But the same small ball lineup, you know, we saw it against the Suns, and and they lost. They got run out of the gym. So, now granted, they've gotten, you know, more pieces. But at the end of the day, I feel like this team has been like that all year, where you're not quite sure who this team is, because they'll go out and get blown out by the Warriors and then blow out the Warriors. Okay, so who are you then? What are you?
Well, but at a time when you're adding players and you've gotten better and better, I think that the most important thing is because obviously they beat the Warriors, beat them on Christmas Day when they were a different team, to do what they needed to do against the Warriors and handle them quite easily, but to get 72 from Westbrook and Harden the other night in Utah, but still get 24 off the bench from Gordon coming back from injury, McLemore, Rivers was effective. The fact that they could go four deep off the bench is huge, because we lamented about how bad their bench has been. And the other thing that was interesting was we had wondered if EG was going to start or just come off the bench, and it might change as he gets healthier. But because there's only so much ball to go around, and we saw how dominant Westbrook and Harden were, Gordon got his, because off the bench there were shots to be had.
Yeah. I mean, you had 16 points combined from the other three starters?
Yeah.
Well, it didn't help the Covington. He got shots because he had 12 three-pointers. He just only made two of them.
Right.
And that really is my concern about this ball club the rest of the year and into the playoffs, is James Harden had struggled mightily from the field shooting. And when you're a team that relies on shooting and you don't have a low post game that you can go to, then it becomes, and this is a team that has blown a lot of layups, it feels like, this year too. So you can talk about, oh, they can get to the rack. Really?
Just look at the Daniel House missed dunk reel.
And you know, Russ is in love with that bank shot. I'm not sure he's made one yet. It feels like every time I watch him try to go off glass.
I've seen him
really
make several bank shots.
I'm not suggesting that he doesn't. I'm being a little, you know, I'm exaggerating a little bit. But I feel like every time I watch him shoot that bank shot, it rims out. And so I worry that this team at any point can go cold. And it can linger. And if that happens in the playoffs, goodbye. They don't have another alternative. They're either going to shoot you out of the building or they're going to shoot themselves out of the game. And that's why I think they're a bit wishy-washy when they look good one game and then they look bad the other. If their shots don't fall, they're done.
No question about it. And that's why I said I'm trying to keep the Rockets fans' faith and also keep them listening to us instead of going back to the flagship, simply because of the fact that the playoffs are going to be a different animal. But their schedule loosens up a little bit now. They're getting healthy, and the guys that they've added. Now, I don't know why Damari Carroll got a DNP coach's decision, because you would think he's the guy that has the contract through the end of the year. Of the two guys between him and Green, and because he had just gotten released by the Spurs, he'd probably be in the better shape. You'd have thought that he'd already gotten a lot of run. Well, he doesn't play. Green does play.
Maybe because they want to see what the, as much as they can get out of Green before these 10 days are up to make a decision.
I think once he gave you 4 or 5 from 3 and 17 in the first one, I would think that that would be more than enough to say that you got what you needed there. But
did you just have a little.
I did a Barry move.
You got a little Barry going on over there.
But I think the key is that, like I said, I'll pass judgment on this team come playoff time simply because you mentioned one of the two variables. The thing is, if they miss their threes, it's one thing, right? But if Harden doesn't, if you don't get the kind of activity that you get because he has the ball so many times during the course of a game, he shot 6 of 11 from three, and he found the touch for the most part to where he could shoot better than 50% from the field. That's when you got a chance to win. But if Russ is going to defer to James, and James is going to have the ball in his hands that often, and he had those nights recently where he was, you know, one first from three, that tells the story of a team that's not going very far.
I would agree.
And the same way, but with Covington, you don't need him to be great every night, but he has been above average since he joined the team. These stinkers are going to happen every now and again for him because they're not relied upon. It. Those players aren't relied upon to the level that Russ and
But you and I both know, man, shooting, that's what, when you look at the Warriors, there are times in the playoffs where Steph and Klay Thompson weren't knocking down their shots. Mm-hmm. But they still found a way to get buckets. They would get to the rim. They would, you know,
take what the defense gives you.
Take what the defense. And I just don't know that the Rockets do that. And they're still susceptible to this James Harden ISO ball, which, you know, one shot and that's it. And the playoffs, that's not going to get it. It's just, I'm not sold on that.
I think the bigger thing, too, that we're not talking about is small ball and D'Antoni's reputation with small ball is it's hyper effective in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Come playoff time, when the game slows down, when we go to half court sets a lot more, you're going to be exposed defensively because teams are going to be able to isolate post players. Like in the regular season, because of the schedule and because of so many different things, you can catch a team on their heels and you can attack with small ball. But in a 7-game series, when teams scheme for you, I mean, and again, the way it's officiated and everything else, it's just, mm-hmm. you know, it's not just me saying it's a pattern.
We've seen it year in and year out. James gets the calls in the regular season, but come postseason, the referees don't give him the same calls that he gets, and it messes up his game, and it messes up the Rockets' game. You lose a big chunk of scoring because a lot of what James does, he could go 4 for 30 from the field, but he'll still score 25, 30 points because he gets to the line a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when that goes away, now you're really in trouble if your ISO guy isn't getting the calls. He's subject to flail shots that just don't have a prayer going in. He's trying to draw a foul. He's not going to get that foul in the playoffs. It's just a bad recipe to me, and I worry about it. I'm not suggesting that they're going to fail. I'm just saying that a team that relies solely on outside shooting, which is what this team is now, getting rid of Capella, you are basically saying we're not even going to play a pick and roll game. We're not even going to worry about a low post game. This is it. This is spread them out, shoot threes, or get Russ to the bucket basketball. And Russ is never
James will get to the best.
But neither of those guys playing that way have been able to do anything in the playoffs. The only time Russ has been effective, or either of them, was when they had Durant, who they could go down a low post presence with. That's a concern I have going forward for small ball.
Problem I have is that when you look at it and you hear Russ's quotes after the game, he said the only team they have to worry about is themselves. As long as they get themselves right, they can win it all. I just don't see it. I just see of the teams that are quote-unquote contenders, the team with too many variables that could go either way right now is Houston.
I'd agree.
So we'll see how that plays. Clippers are supposed to be worried because they've lost a few, but every game that they've lost, one of their two best players has been out, as well as other guys. And they have a roster where you can have some deficiencies and another guy will pick up the slack. Here, you better hope that they got guys that can start picking up the slack by the guys they picked up. Gordon's got to be healthy. Green's got to continue to contribute. Covington's can't have many more games like this with this Jazz game because you have to outscore everybody.
Yeah, I don't know that the Rockets would really be fearful of a lot of teams. I don't think that they're too worried about the Jazz. And I don't know
at
that
least
they
recently
should be.
They've showed that yeah. they can play with them.
I don't know that they're 100% worried about the Nuggets. I think they look at the Clippers as a potential threat, but because of the way the season's gone so far. But I think if you're anybody, you have to look at the Lakers and go, oof. And I mean, as good as they are now, they've only lost 12 games. But then you think about LeBron in the playoffs. That is a whole different animal.
Well, there's a guy that's going to get calls, too.
Yeah. So I think if you're the Rockets, that's just, I mean.
I think the two LA teams, because, like I said, the Clippers variables are you just got to be healthy. Kawhi, if you're healthy,
yeah.
If you're healthy, you're deep enough, and individually and team defensively, they can cause a lot of disruption and problems in a Rockets offense.
Yeah.
So you don't want to see the two LA teams, because I'm with you. I don't think Denver should scare anybody. They're a team that's got a bunch of young talent, mm-hmm. but we keep saying the playoffs, it slows down. And also, superstars do their thing. LeBron, you just mentioned. But of all the other teams we were talking about, they got two superstars that are going to do a lot to help their team. In Denver, are you going to tell me that you think that the Joker is he a superstar?
Yeah. I mean,
Is Murray a superstar?
No.
No.
That's just it. They've got a lot of good to really good players.
Rockets exposed Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
If you think Rudy Gobert can guard Westbrook, good luck.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He had a lot of fun with that one.
I think the big thing is I'm looking at the numbers. The one thing that I think separates L.A. from everybody else, and that includes the Clippers, is their home and away splits. They're 23-5 on the road.
Mm-hmm. Their road record's been impressive.
Yeah.
The bigger thing is, like I said.
I mean, Rockets 17-12. That's great. Denver 17-11. Clippers are 15-13 on the road. So don't travel well necessarily. That could be something to keep an eye on, especially if the Lakers maintain the number one seed and they're as good as they are at home, and they could be better on the road. That would be scary.
I think the only team that really has to panic right now is the Clippers, simply because home court advantage doesn't mean a thing when you're playing the Lakers because it's the same building.
Right.
It doesn't matter who's sitting on the visiting team bench. But in a series against the Rockets, in a series against Utah or Denver, where say what you will about their rosters, tough places to play. Mm-hmm. Altitude in Denver, the raucous crowd in Utah, those are problems. And the only thing I'd say in the Clippers' defense on that road record is, between George and Kawhi missing back-to-backs, George having the lingering hamstring injury and too many injuries, a lot of that has to do with all that and how many times Doc rests players in the regular season. But don't play around too much, because seeding's going to be important in the Western Conference for the Clippers.
Yeah, and I was looking back at because they've lost three in a row, the Clippers have. Yeah. So I wanted to see. I mean, two of those three losses, they had Leonard and George in the game.
Well, we'll see.
I mean, that Sixers loss just now, I mean, Leonard had 30, Paul George had 11.
He got hurt during that game.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, Leonard and was at the Celtics game. He played 15 minutes, but he started and he had 4 points. So that might be the bigger concern, is he going to be healthy, right? I mean, is he, like you said, the health could be their big issue. But yeah, they lost to the Kings. I don't care that Paul George doesn't play. Kawhi Leonard had 31 points in that game. Look at this. Kawhi Leonard had 31 points in that loss to the Kings. Morris, 6. Zubac, 8. Jackson, 8, and Shamet, 4. But that's their starting rotation. Now, Lou Williams comes in and gives them 24. Sure. Cool.
What Harold did?
He had 16.
So your bench is solid there. It's just a matter of you got to get Reggie Jackson acclimated, Marcus Morris acclimated, we'll see.
Baysmore right. had 23 off the bench, so their bench still held in there with the Clippers.
They got to be healthy.
Yeah.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. We're healthy, at least I think. We'll take it till 4. Blitz will take... Well, you're never healthy. Blitz will come on at 4, take you till 7, as they're all back from Vegas as well. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. This is about the time that I tell you that if you missed any portion of the show, you go to ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab for the usual suspects at the top of the page. The menu comes down. You catch up on the hours that you missed. And while you're there on ESPN 975's front page, you can also follow the instructions, download the app, take us anywhere, everywhere, and never, I mean never, miss another show from us or anybody else.
Do it.
Well, you did your job.
Yeah. See?
Still waiting for the bell to ring.
It was funny because during the break we were looking at this video and it showed Ahmad Rashad and we started discussing Ahmad Rashad. And,
yes.
I'd never realized he had a different name.
Yes, he did.
Bobby Moore.
Yep.
I didn't realize.
Went to the University of Oregon.
Yeah.
And
played for the Vikings.
Played for the big time for the Vikings.
Yep. Yeah, four-time Pro Bowler.
Big-time receiver. Yep. But Cardinals, better known Bills as Michael and- Jordan's best friend.
He's saying he wrote some coattails, Joel?
Yeah, I'm just saying. It could have been a lot worse, but it was a whole lot better because he was Michael's best friend. Private planes and every Bulls celebration and always smoking cigars with Mike.
Now, I said, wasn't he on Real People? And you're like, no, inside stuff. And I knew that. It was Real TV.
Oh.
In 2000. So I knew it was Real something.
But the guy from Real People, Byron, he was a comedian too, right?
Byron Allen, right?
Byron Allen. He bought like the Weather Channel or something like that. He's Byron loaded. Allen.
He owns BET. He owns a bunch of shows. Yeah, Byron Allen's
that dude
balling
did
out
really
control.
Well.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we got this. Obviously, it was a very touching day and emotional day as everybody went to the Staples Center to honor Kobe Bryant. But as part of it, of all people, Michael Jordan added a little humor to the festivities.
Now he's got me. I'll have to look at another crime meme for the Knicks. I told my wife I wasn't going to do this because I didn't want to see that for the next 3 or 4 years. That is what Kobe Bryant does to me.
That's amazing.
I mean, that is so outstanding that he recognized it. And when you see the video, he legit looks like the crying meme.
Yep.
And it was like, well, of course he looks like him, Barry, you dumbass, because he is the crying meme. But it was the same tears and, oh, man, it was that was a really funny, I think, moment of self-awareness by Jordan in a moment of, you know, otherwise a somber time.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And a guy that, you know, as much as he has personality away from the mics and the cameras, he doesn't normally get to that point. So maybe, you know, taking himself a little lighter helps as part of the process.
Yeah.
So that was a neat little moment there. I was going to mention some of the other baseball things. People were talking about the fact that Mike Fiers got a big ovation in his first spring start.
That's interesting. I find it interesting that people give him an ovation. Because had he ratted out their team, there's no way. I mean, this dude is going to be celebrated as a rat and a snitch by everybody except Houston, and I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you just have to have a little bit of awareness of, what if it was our team? Would you be cheering for the guy?
Yeah, I think, too, what I've tried to do is, and obviously we have to talk about it every day, but we've said from the get-go, look, they cheated. We're not trying to change the narrative of the truth. Whereas a lot of Astros fans are, and they're fighting it. But obviously, if I was a Yankees fan, if I was a Dodgers fan, how would Houston react if they had one of those two franchises and this happened to them? And you know when you see the amount of passion that Astros Twitter has.
They'd be jerks.
Yeah, and they'd be doing the same damn things.
Of course.
So it's real difficult. Obviously, it's one thing to be defensive if you're an Astros fan, but if the shoe was on the other foot, you'd be just like the Yankees fans and the Dodgers fans. You might not be placing the death threats. I would hope not, because we talked about before all this came out how vile and rude the Yankees fans were. But I just think that, yeah, if the shoe was on the other foot, you got to put it in perspective and realize you'd be the same way.
I agree. I've kind of mentioned this a couple times, but the hypocrisy of all this, and it's true even from Astros fans, there's a certain level of hypocrisy that, oh, just get over it and move on. No, 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 no. If this was the Yankees that disgraced baseball themselves, their city and everything, you guys would never. If it was the Rangers, could you imagine Astros fans letting this go so easily? Just don't expect it. Just move on.
That's what I'm saying. Go about your business.
Baseball will move
and the less you talk about it right now, the better. Simply because of the fact that everybody's going to be doing the talking for you when you see all the national people getting hammered every day because of the fact that they can't move off of it. They're not getting away from it. In some cases, the national media has made Astros spring training their headquarters and will cover other teams along the way as they roll through to play, because that is the story.
Yep.
So Dusty Baker's come out. This is something that you have been on in the past, so I'll throw it out to you.
Okay.
Dusty Baker's come out and said George Springer will continue to be his leadoff hitter.
Yep.
No changes.
That's
I'm
smart.
Good with that. Yeah, oh, yeah, why wouldn't – I mean, I don't understand why there would even be discussions about that. I mean, obviously he puts up big numbers, but he also ignites a lot of innings for this team and gets it started from the leadoff spot, gets the extra at-bat by being in the leadoff spot, and does everything you need a leadoff guy to do, just unorthodox in the fact he's a bigger guy with more pop
yeah,
but and less speed, but he's effective. Why would you change?
He's still pretty quick. He just doesn't steal a lot of bases. I mean, he's still
he's
quick in the outfield.
Stealing bases.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the Astros seem to be not great at it.
They didn't have the signs.
I'm glad. I don't know why he had to come out and say that, but new manager, you know, probably thinking about he's going to do things his way, but it doesn't make sense to not do
it. It goes
that,
under
right?
the category, though, right? Of all the things that he's going to be in charge of, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Right.
Right. You know, your lineup is the last thing you have to worry about in terms of all the weaponry you have. And once Yordan came on the scene, you got your cleanup hitter with Pop.
The things I'll be interested to see from Dusty Baker on a game-in and game-out basis when the regular season starts is how does he manage in-game? Is he a small ball guy? Is he give him the green light? They, you know, 3-0 counts. Is he a green light on the base paths? Does he strictly, you know?
Quick is the hook? Because that's his.
Yeah,
he's
known for
bugaboo.
Letting his starters stay in too long and wearing out arms and pitchers and. And plus, like, you know, is he going to squeeze? What kind of risks does he take within a game? Because AJ would play percentages, and I feel like Baker is a by-the-book guy. Hey, look at that. I did it too. But
touché.
Baker is a by-the-well, yours just seemed a little more.
Well, I had a lot to make up for.
So I want to see it for myself. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not putting a lot of stock in this season. To me, it's almost like this is just a get-through-it season. I don't care what they do, short of winning a World Series. Anything less than a deep run in the playoffs is going to be egg on their face as an organization, as a franchise. So it's almost, man, like this team is World Series or bust. And I mean it, and that's not just an exaggeration as a turn of phrase. If they do not get to and come close to winning a World Series, everyone on this planet is going to go, see? When you can't cheat, this is what you do.
Yeah, they're going to be made the example of like they win, have, lose, or draw.
So now they have so much pressure on them. How are they going to perform? How is he going to manage? It's going to be an interesting season to watch. I almost just don't care what happens. I just want to see how everyone handles this more than anything. That's going to be the fascinating thing.
You know, I've gotten so attached to just the team itself. I just want to see the players redeem, whether they win it all or they have a great winning season or not. I just want to see them redeem themselves individually so that they can go on with the rest of their careers and don't let this define them. Because, you know, if you get a Bregman type start to a season of a few years ago,
yep,
these guys now are going to be pegged as cheaters, the only reason why they succeeded. So I hope individually they're able to put that narrative behind them. We'll see. All right, we're going to put that half hour behind us. We got a half hour to go on the show. 30 minutes on the clock when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. Half hour to go on the show as we push on through a Monday in the big city. We take you till 4, Blitz takes you till 7, as you know, and everybody present and accounted for made it back from Vegas. Nicholas, I assume. I saw everybody but Fred.
Yeah, I believe Fred and AJ had an earlier flight, so they should definitely be here. And I saw AJ's office open, so I'm assuming.
I've spoken to AJ. He's here.
Okay.
I've seen Aaron Raybould.
I've seen him as well.
I saw Cody and Jake.
Yes, sir.
And then we just have to find Fred.
So Fred's got to be around here somewhere.
I would assume that he will be present and accountable. And everybody will wrap up everything that happened in Vegas. Boy, it turned out to be a great fight. Good, glad to see you guys had the chance to be there, see that, be a part of it. That was a very cool atmosphere, it must have been. Also, talking about other things as we move on, interested, I was going to get your guys' opinion. ESPN has now made it official. Jessica Mendoza no longer a part of Sunday Night Baseball.
I saw that.
She is going to be a part of games during the week as she signed an extension with the Four Letter Network. But they've decided to just keep it a two-man booth, Matt Beskurgin, A-Rod, and then Buster on the side.
Did they announce this again? I thought this was already a thing.
No, they had discussed it. They were thinking about other people to fill in and take Mendoza's role.
Uh-huh.
And then they made it official. With the announcement.
Because I know we
mentioned it. We mentioned it last week.
Yeah, we had talked about previously what they were going to do, but they had said that Mendoza was out. Yeah. First, they had a real problem with the fact that she still worked for the Mets, but then, and I think that was part of the deal, she resigned from the Mets, then they signed her to a long-term deal, and they just made the announcement at that time, which is what we talked about.
Gotcha.
She would no longer be a part of the broadcast, but evidently ESPN had been, I guess, interviewing, considering.
Gotcha.
Lots of different people, but now they're just going to go with a two-person booth. The one thing that's interesting that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but during the playoffs, A-Rod was all over the fact that he thought that something was coming out.
Uh-huh. I was just about to say, it was funny because I remember getting irate with A-Rod because he kept bringing up, it's almost like they know what's coming. It's almost like they know what's coming. And I was like, oh, shut up, A-Rod. You're a cheater, too. They're not cheating. They're just good at baseball.
I was the same way.
My bad, A-Rod. I guess you knew something the rest of us didn't.
Kind
of
led on to it. Like, you know that A-Rod either told him or he found out some
stuff,
too. It's
funny because, you know, him and Correa are boys, A-Rod and Correa. And so you just wonder how he found out. But he knew. I mean, this is obviously speculation on my part. But based on what he was talking about in his post-game analysis and pregame analysis during the playoffs, it's almost like A-Rod knew what we were going to find out later. Well,
Bregman loved him and idolized him growing up. You know, and Poppy talks about, even though he can't remember his name, Bregman, and kind of, you know, taking and loving Altuve. So somehow, some way, I just kept reverting back to the comments made by the guys analyzing the series and the playoffs last year going, man, this was coming and we didn't even catch on to it.
I just, my hate for A-Rod wouldn't allow me to get past the fact that maybe he knew.
Yep.
I was just like, oh, you shut up, A-Rod. These are wholesome, you know, everybody on that team is a good guy.
Like the way somebody went back and logged all the trash can banging and all the other things, for people to go back through the playoffs, starting with the Tampa series. And starting to bring back, you know, was it pitchers tipping pitches? Or was it, you know, and some of the things throughout the last 3 years that were brought up? Because there was a lot that we probably just, like you said, spewed venom back at A-Rod going, dude, you're just hating on a good team. And now look back and go, did they know something?
My bad. Maybe you weren't hating so much after all.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But he's back. Beskurgin's back. Sunday Night Baseball is that. Mendoza is during the week.
I'm going to miss her.
She's good.
I didn't mind having the sound up.
Well, but you,
when
I mean,
she did it because I really
like
what she brought
to more
it.
Games now during the week. She'll be doing multiple games. They lose David Ross, who I also enjoyed in the booth, but now he's the manager of the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Eduardo Perez was almost the manager of the Mets. It's like,
I didn't like him.
I think he knows a lot of baseball. Obviously, he played and with his dad being Tony Perez. But the fact that all of a sudden he was in consideration for the Mets job. That, you know, you mentioned all the different people getting these gigs. Aaron Boone got the Yankees gig from the ESPN booth. I mean, if you're aspiring to be a manager in baseball, don't you just want to be hired by ESPN now?
Kind of. Or the Astros, right, Larry Durker?
True. I mean, maybe Durker was the guy that set the gold standard for how it's done from the local perspective.
Do you remember that move? And I was like, what?
Yeah. But that's when you go back to and you start looking at it going, well, everybody said Biggio was making all the moves anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know. True. But it's just kind of a little bit weird. I know that from an NBA perspective, I thought about when they made Derek Fisher and Jason Kidd head coaches without any experience. And I know like guys like Mario Elie were just livid because they had paid their dues. But the fact
And coached.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Paid their dues from the coaching ranks. But now when you look at it and say, what, all you got to do is be a broadcaster for a year or two on ESPN and suddenly you're good enough to be a manager?
Did you see the letter that Jim Crane sent out to Astros fans?
I heard about it. I did not see it.
So he emailed a letter to all of the season ticket holders. And he basically, I mean, it's too long to read on the radio. Mm-hmm. But he said, I know it's been hard on each of you in the city. And I know we let you down. We were wrong. And I want to reiterate that I'm very sorry. And then it ends with, we ask that you forgive us and that you continue to support our players in this organization. We greatly appreciate each of you. We look forward to seeing you in Houston for opening day. There was a bit of sincerity in there, but then it kind of smacks as a little bit of desperation, too.
I think that they've proven that they haven't mastered the art of public relations.
I mean, he says some things that I think are pretty humbling and difficult to say. Like, he never, you know, it's almost like the Deontay Wilder post-fight interview, or Deontay Wilder, excuse me, where he's like, yeah, the better man won. I mean, I had leg issues and some other things going on, but the better man won. So it's an admittance, but it's with an asterisk or a caveat. And I don't think there's any of that in Jim Crane. I think he's like 1,000% we screwed up.
But the way you finished that letter, I would have basically said, just phrased it in a different way so it doesn't sound as desperate, to say, hey, you know, keep sticking with us. Keep having our backs, and we promise you that going forward, we're going to make you proud again in the near future.
He talks of Dusty and James Click, and he says they have high character. Quote, they will be leading a great group of players who will be taking the field in search of redemption. This is in the letter. I mean, it's kind of a weird, and this went out, this email went to all of the season ticket holders. He talks about, our actions left an indelible mark on baseball. I promise you I'll work as hard to rebuild this team as I did to rebuild it to win a championship, as far as repairing their reputation. It's a weird, almost like, please buy these tickets. My thing is, I wonder, you know, they raised prices after they won the World Series.
Yep.
I wonder if it wouldn't have been smart to just lower prices.
It would have been a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Trying to deflect some of the stuff. But here's the thing, and I've been through enough franchises and from year to year, franchises that have been smart enough to do this, they should have done this. Based on all the faux pas they've had from a public relations perspective, from the Osuna trade to the Brandon Taubman situation to all of this, sometimes you just have to look at it and say, this is such a mammoth undertaking that we're dealing with. We need outside help. And you go in and get public relations consultants. It happens in politics all the time. When something really big comes and monumental happens, and you realize I may be understaffed to handle something like this. It's one thing to have a department that handles the local media in Houston and occasional national media when they come to town. But an undertaking with the proportion of this type scandal, we might want to bring in an outside company to help us for a year or two.
Be smart.
Because then you could avoid letters like this or press conferences where you say, I didn't say that after you said that. You know.
Well, the interesting part is at the end of this article, I am going to read this. It's three paragraphs. But I wasn't aware of this. I don't know if a lot of people were, but I think this is worth reading. So bear with me for a second. But it says, they talk about an article in the Wall Street Journal. It says, 9 years ago, Major League Baseball owners and executives privately wrestled with a difficult question. Should they allow Jim Crane to buy the Astros? The Texas businessman had offered $680 million to purchase the team, a sum that would mark the second highest price ever for a baseball franchise at the time. But behind closed doors, owners and executives, including then Commissioner Bud Selig, were concerned about Crane's business history. People familiar with the matter said, just 3 years earlier, Crane had abruptly backed out of a previous deal to buy the Astros. Before that, his logistics business faced allegations of bigotry, sexism, and systemic discrimination. His company was later accused of price fixing and defrauding the U.S. government to profiteer off the Iraq war. And this is when he came up with the phrase that he now uses quite often, quote, I don't think I should be held accountable, end quote. That says a lot. And then you talk about PR nightmares and issues, and I wasn't aware of any of that. And that literally, when I read this article this morning, is the first time I was aware of it.
What weren't you aware of? The business dealings?
Yeah. The sexism, the bigotry, the sexism,
and
the systemic discrimination?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of those things. I knew he backed out, but I wasn't aware that his company was under fire for profiteering off the Iraq war. I mean, that's a lot of heavy allegations.
The big, you know, the discrimination, the systemic, and
you know, bigotry and all that. Yeah. Wow, that shocked me. And now you think baseball owners are looking back and going, shouldn't have let him buy the Astros after all. Because look what happened under his watch.
Well, from a fan base, though, you're sure happy that he did because of the fact that he was able to make commitments financially Drayton wasn't going to do.
Yeah, Drayton was running into the ground. But now you look where you're at, and, you know, Drayton got this team to a World Series. They didn't win.
Right.
But they got to a World Series.
But Drayton never pulls the trigger to get Verlander.
Not necessarily true.
I don't think he did. I don't think he would.
I don't think he pulls the trigger to bring in A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow. And that's the key to me. I mean, Tim Purpura was awful.
Yeah.
Right? Some of the managers that Drayton would had were good, but they were never great. They were never what this team and baseball needed, like A.J. Hinch was, as far as the way he managed and analytically, and you don't need lefties. You don't give up outs with sack bunts and sack flies and all those things. That's next level. That's new school baseball, not the old way of thinking. Drayton's problem was he got burned by the Drabek and Swindell deals very early on as an owner.
Signed Carlos Lee to a mammoth deal.
But I'm saying, I mean, after that's part of the problem again, too, as he got burned by Swindell and Doug Drabek and bringing those guys in, it backfired on him. So then he gets over it, and then he does the Carlos Lee deal.
I just think he was too chintzy and didn't know enough about the game that he would have never pulled
the problem. With Drayton is he wasn't smart with his money. It's not that he was chintzy. He just wasn't smart with it. He spent it. He just didn't spend it wisely, and he didn't care about the farm system, and he hired GMs that didn't care about the farm system, and that's why they got into the position they were in.
I would differ in the fact that there's a lot of people that you talk to that said he was pretty stingy with his pennies.
Oh, I mean, he was very money-oriented, but what owner isn't? You don't get to be a billionaire or a multimillionaire by just being ridiculous with your money. All these guys are frugal.
To quote your idol, I mean, you got to know when to hold them, when to fold them.
Tillman Fertitta doesn't want to go in the luxury tax, and if anyone could afford two of the major owners, it's him.
Well, I'm just we differ on our opinion of Drayton, but... Obviously, I think that they made the right move.
I'm not saying he wasn't cheap.
Bringing in the coach and the general manager they did, but they also had a system in place with players that were developing in those 100 lost seasons in which you had Altuve and Springer and Bregman and Correa, and that your core was coming. They just needed the experience because the talent was there.
Yeah, but they gutted this team in order to be able to sell it, and that's why you had to endure the 100 lost seasons. So, you know, Drayton, I mean, wasn't Hunter Pence was the last of the Drayton McClain era?
I don't recall who was the last. I just recall the other thing was they couldn't get wrong right. I mean, they were trading away Roy Oswalt and Hunter Pence and
But they were just dumping
salary.
And
they couldn't get it. But
they were just dumping payroll to sell it,
though. But part of it was you were supposed to get some prospects back.
Well,
so
yeah.
All right, well, we got one segment to go on the show. We're going to put a bow on it next, wrap it up, and turn it over to the Blitz. We appreciate you being suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of the show on a Monday. It's Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio at Gal Media. Nick back from Vegas. Barry here with me. You know, guys, I don't have any experience on this matter, but I thought I'd throw
it
out.
Well, Joel, when a man and a woman get together.
Who's got kids? Yeah. So as the story goes, a 32-year-old Georgia man whose identity was spared when he was rushed to the emergency room, not once, but twice, had an erection for almost 12 hours straight. Doctors believe his unfortunate conditions, wait for it, fellas, may have been caused by marijuana use.
What?
What says you?
I don't think I've ever
Never happened to me, I'll tell you that right now.
I don't think I've ever had a weed chub. I can't remember.
Now, there is such a thing as whiskey.
I don't think that's a thing. Yeah, but that's the opposite.
Right, which is the opposite, I was going to say. But they said the man went to the hospital the first time after his erection lasted 12 hours. The medical team treated the hard tissue issue.
Was it an edible? Or was it? Did he actually smoke weed?
I'll see if, again, I don't remember, recall if they quoted, if they cited what he actually, which way he got the weed. But then he returned after another persistent erection that lasted for 6 hours straight.
Because four is the limit. They say anything over four.
Well, that's when we hear all the warning signs right. for the male enhancement pills. It says priapism.
Priapism. Well,
I don't know why you know that, but okay. Basically, is an erection that lasts more than 4 hours and is not related to sexual activity is the diagnosis. The caregiving team from Coliseum Medical Centers said the otherwise healthy man admitted to getting high several nights per week for the previous 6 months, and that included within a two-hour period of getting those erections. He had previously stiffened up on other occasions, including when he started smoking as a teenager, but the episodes went away on their own after nearly 4 hours. So evidently he was smoking.
The urologist that they interviewed said that marijuana is a vasodilator, so it could lead to overdilation of the penile vessels. And of course, this is the article you bring up in the 3 o'clock hour to make me be the penis guy again. Yeah. Oftentimes, marijuana can be tainted with drugs or chemicals, so the additives could be the cause of the problem. Kind of want to know if you put D pills in my weed. That's something I kind of feel like you know, that and meth and crack. You should tell me if you're adding crack to my weed. You should tell me if you're going to lace it with formaldehyde and D pills. Kind of want to know those things prior to.
I just think for all the people that kind of laugh it off and go, you know, if I had one for 4 hours, I wouldn't go to get medical attention. I'd go to the strip club. But 12 straight hours?
Well, the urologist says the concern is if the erection lasts more than 4 hours, the penis can lose vital oxygen and nutrients. First of all, I didn't know that my junk was getting nutrients. I didn't know that. I would have been eating better. Is this...
You didn't know the gum was loaded? Like,
huh?
You didn't know the gum was loaded?
No, I'm just saying, I mean, is that, you know, like, as you're a growing boy, they tell you to eat better. I didn't realize that could have helped. Nutrients? And then it says, this can lead to pain, swelling, loss of future erections, and loss of the penis.
What?
Yeah. I'm out on that. Nope. If you're making me choose between smoking weed and losing my penis, I think I'm sober up.
I think when presented with that like dilemma, people are still going to do the weed.
That is crazy to me. But it's a real thing. I Googled priapism. 200,000 cases a year in the U.S. No well, thanks.
Those cases alone, man, I'll tell you what.
A year. There's 200,000 dudes that are like, hey, doc, this has been going on for more than 4 hours.
It's not like you can hide the problem.
Do something about it?
Right.
Well, it just depends if you're hashtag blessed or not. Some people can't. Some people just tuck it in their waistband.
I keep thinking of Road Trip when the old guy turns to talk to the guys and he knocks the statue off the table with it.
Yeah. Some people can hide it. You find ways. Just how did you in school? Everybody got one of those ones when you weren't expecting it, and then you know you got to walk to go sharpen your pencil or something, and you're like, "Damn it, I got to do something with this." You know, you tuck it somewhere.
Yeah, you got to tuck and run.
Yeah. So you know, could be just a resort.
But I've heard of a lot of things causing that, but not marijuana.
Me either. That surprises me more than anything. But that makes you think there must have been something in there.
It's supposed to relax you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
It either makes you.
I'm just asking.
There's two kinds. There's indica and sativa, and I'm by no means an expert, but like the sativa is supposed to make you more creative. It's the stuff that makes you laugh more. The indica makes you sleepy. Both of them make me sleepy.
Nicholas, without implying it, I know you know a lot. And I don't know. And seriously, not from usage. I remember even from when you were talking about like breaking up. Like selling it and doing all the different things that people do that they get arrested for, just the way that you know a lot about the whole process. But I don't know if you've ever, is that That's crazy, right?
No, I've never heard of anything like that. It might be something that just happens to him in terms of a condition. Like, he might react that way to it. I mean, Barry's right in terms of the different strains and what they could potentially do to you. But really, I've never even encountered anything like that, you know? So it just might be something that's specific to him. And there's not anything out there that I've read about priapism, because I didn't know about it until you guys brought it up, that says, you know, marijuana is a contributing factor or is the reason. Maybe it's a contributing factor, but it's not the reason for its cause. So
don't you feel when it gets to that point, you got to break down everything, like all your eating habits, all your...
Yeah, you have to.
ATX Noble Girl says the problem isn't what people try to do. The problem is people with priapism, what they try to do to get it to go away, that they'll do crazy things.
Such as?
I can imagine. Beat it with a hammer? I don't know. What do you...
Beat it with a hammer?
Ram it into a wall? I don't know. What do you... Why? I don't know.
You're trying to cause pain for yourself?
Hey, call me the naive guy, but I would say if easiest way to get rid of one, if you're trying to get rid of one, is to let the gun go off, and then it's supposed to go away.
You would think that, but that's not the case. No. That's not the case.
I'm saying that's the first method you would try.
You think you're the only one that thought of that?
I think
they probably try that, and then it just swells up like a baby arm. And now you got another problem. Just saying. I don't think you... It's more than just that. It's more than just...
When they say people try things, that would be the first thing.
I doubt that that works. That would be in the thing. When they were like, if you take, you know, sildenafil and you experience an erection for more than 4 hours, just... have some sex and it'll go away. That obviously isn't going to help. Or that would be the result. My favorite thing, by the way, about this, I've noticed this, and maybe it's been going on for a while, but every new drug commercial that I see, like if they have a sildenafil, they'll say, if you're allergic to sildenafil, don't take sildenafil. Wow. Thank you for the insight, drug companies.
Right there.
Wow. That's great.
And if you're on weed, you needed that advice. But if you're not,
yeah, that's
it pretty
true.
Much seems to be self-explanatory.
That is true.
All right, well, it's just a Monday, which means we've got 4 more days to go in the week, and that means we'll all be here, so should you. We appreciate you guys being suspects and listening to us 1 to 4 daily on ESPN 97.5. Stay tuned for the Blitz. They're coming up next. It's Fred, AJ, and Aaron. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.